Hi, I'm Julie Shapiro. I'm the artistic director of the Third Coast International Audio Festival. Yes.
And this audio festival is not a festival of its own. You do a lot of other things. So maybe you can tell me something about your situation or feature in the US radio.
Yeah, we don't quite use the term feature. In fact, we do use feature, but usually it means something like an extended news piece or a slightly longer news piece with maybe a human interest. But the long form feature doesn't really exist in the US. We would call those documentaries, I think. And they'll range from 10 minutes to 60 minutes.
And in which programs do you have these documentaries?
There aren't so many opportunities, actually, and fewer. I just found out last night about another cancellation of a very strong documentary project. So I think independent producers will make documentaries, and after they make them, try to get some distribution. There's no guarantee often. So the National Public Radio, only a couple times a year, will play the longer pieces, usually, you know, under 10 to 12 minutes is considered about as long as things may go. So it's a very specialized genre at this point. There isn't a lot of opportunity to actually hear the documentaries.
And who's producing features and documentaries?
Well, it's paradoxical because so many new young people are coming into the field very excited about what they might do with radio and podcasting and being on the internet. And at the same time, there's very little work. There's almost no place to hear the work. There are a couple of nice shows coming out of New York right now that feature more creative documentary-like work. National Public Radio plays some of that work. We have an hour-long show that comes out of Chicago called Resound, and we curate 1 hour every week, and we may have one long piece or two 30-minute pieces or three or four shorter pieces. And a couple other efforts to do the similar, create sort of an hour's collection of documentary pieces may air on local stations here and there. But nationally, it's really tough at this point to get a documentary broadcast.
On which station is your program?
We air in Chicago on WBEZ Chicago Public Radio, it's called, 91.5. And then we have the podcast that goes out all over the world. And I keep mentioning it because it seems more and more the way to get work heard right now. Not necessarily paid for, but to get the work out is through the internet right now.
Yeah, the internet is a very good way to distribute features.
It's exciting. There's a distribution network called Public Radio Exchange in the US where producers can upload their work and broadcasters can come and find it and download it. And when they download it, the producer gets a little bit of money. So it's an alternative to having to go through the sort of the regular satellite system, the very official way of getting your work out there. And anybody can post a piece to PRX and anyone can listen to anything on the website. So it's a bit more democratic, I think. And it's also encouraging for young producers who are hoping, well, they made a piece about a holiday and some broadcaster across the country hears it and downloads it, and it happens.
Yes, but where do the producers come from, and how do they decide to be a producer?
I think a lot of young producers are geographically from all over the country. The ones that are very serious because they've listened more, not necessarily through broadcast journalism programs. There's a lot of people coming into radio as artists, as documentarians in film or photography, who hear stories and think, oh, I could make those stories. I want to make those stories. Audio is really experiencing a renaissance as an art form. So there are a couple training programs now that are very active that a lot of students go through, and those tend to be a lot of the people that then go on and get internships and hopefully jobs in the system a little bit more. But I think it's a time where anybody and everyone is starting to consider themselves a producer. And we have this project every year where we invite anyone and everyone, we say. Everyone can do this project to make a very short piece. And often it's their first piece ever. But you give them a reason to, they already want to, and people are figuring it out. So here and there are maybe a dozen successful independent production companies that have regular negotiations with National Public Radio or with local regional stations to do work. Most independent producers will pitch stories to different shows. There's a few more shows around and about that you can try. One about the environment and one about business matters, and you know, so specialized topically. But you know, they're completely unsupported. They're out there trying to do their own work. A lot of producers end up finding grants and funding so they can make their stories. It's kind of tight right now, I think, in terms of opportunities.
And who gives them the money?
The stations sometimes, but a lot of people are really applying for prizes and grants, and so a lot of producers coming into the field are also waitressing and working in the bar at night so they can, you know, produce during the day. Or the other thing that we see happening is producers are using their audio skills off the radio. So they're making museum tours, or they're hired by a company to make a podcast, or they're doing something that uses all of their new skills but not necessarily for radio broadcast. And maybe that's funding a commercial job could fund their more artistic projects, the documentary work.
And what is Third Coast Radio? The Third Coast in Chicago?
Yes, it's a long name. The Third Coast International Audio Festival. Well, what we're doing is celebrating the best of this work being made from around the world by collecting it, curating. There's a lot of work out there, so we try to curate the most interesting, the work we really want as many people as possible to hear. And we're encouraging new producers, and we're encouraging veterans of production to try new styles and to always remember the use of sound in telling the story, and to just elevate the visibility. It's ironic to say the visibility of radio, but to elevate the form. It can be news and information, but it can also be art, and it can be intellectual, it can be very profound. Small stories can tell very big ideas. You know, all of these ideas are sort of wrapped up in what we do, but we also gather the producing community together and provide a network for a community, so they come to Chicago once a year for a big conference, and we have events in different cities where we invite the public to come out and just listen to radio in a group, and then we talk about it and invite producers to come to that. So where we used to think we did two things, engage the public in more interesting listening opportunities and encourage the producers to make those more interesting opportunities, now we're seeing it's more one big community. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but the line is really coming down a little bit. So our role is changing, I think, a little bit as technology changes the whole media landscape.
In the center of this festival is nowadays the internet. Was it starting with the internet?
No, when we started, there was no such thing as a podcast. If you listen to the earliest files we had up online, you know, they sound awful and they're enormous. Everything has changed so much. Now we think it's crucial that we archive and we become a very trusted filter, because especially right now online, there's so much to look at and to listen to. So if we can convince people that what we're choosing is really carefully chosen and curated for a reason. So the website has become our audio library, and that's what we think of it as now, a place people can come and listen to, you know, over 750 pieces at this point, choose by title. And that, so that's become the most public aspect of what we're doing is the internet. But it's you're right, it's completely different these days. So.
And you're not connected to a radio station, so that radio station must knock always on your door and say, have you something we can broadcast?
The festival started as a project of WBEZ, so for 8 years we were funded by the radio station in Chicago. And because as everyone's going through the financial hard times, about at the end of 2008 we found out that they couldn't fund us anymore. So they're very supportive still, and we still work at the radio station, and we still have our computers and studio access to put the radio show on every Saturday. But we're funding ourselves now. So we're in the, you know, now we're just an independent arts organization based in audio, trying to raise money to keep going. So it's challenging, but also very exciting, because we feel we've gone independent. We have a lot of energy. We have big ideas. We have some very big ideas, and we have to work slow and steadily to get there, I think.
Yes. Can you tell me something about your ideas?
yeah, sure. In case anyone listening wants to fund them, of course. No, I kid. We imagine having a space, actually, that people can come to, and taking this virtual audio library and creating an actual place you can walk in, a storefront in a community where anyone walking by can come in.
In the city?
In the city. In the city, an actual audio library, a public library for audio. We run the festival from the back. Maybe we have a cafe too. Really, we want to pull people. It's very important to us, the community that comes together for listening and what is communicated through these different stories that are all the perspectives and how you can understand the world a little differently through this radio. So we think it's an essential part of getting to know other people. This is priceless. Oh my gosh. Oh, the best interruption ever.
Yes.
You're going to have to describe that. Yes. Now we look forward to bringing people in and gathering in a space and really introducing the form as more of an art form that you can talk about and, you know, think critically about and enjoy.
So. It seems to be that you bring the audience, the community of the internet, back into reality.
Yeah, exactly. It's coming full circle because you can only look at your computer screen for so long. And I think when you listen in a group setting, well, we do it here all week, it's really different when everyone in the room laughs or chuckles at the same time or gasps because something's so powerful. And afterwards, you buzz, you can barely wait till it's over to start talking about it. And we find it a little... At first we have to convince people, no, really, come do this. And then they respond so positively. They come the next time. So the community that comes to our events has really grown bigger and bigger over the years. And we even started a new project that we call the Third Coast Filmless Festival. So we're running basically a film festival, but with just audio screenings, no films. So people come and sit in a dark theater, and the lights go down, and they see a thank you to the funders, and then they hear... a little logo, a little thing that we made about listening, and they're welcomed. And then the first piece comes up, and you just see the title and the name of the producer, and that shrinks, and then you just listen. And then the next one. So, and it's been great, great fun, great response. So it's a new way of thinking, I think, about the radio.
Let's come back to feature and documentary. What does it mean exactly? You say everything is possible, soundscape to journalistic forms. And where's the line to the radio drama? Or is there any?
You know, it's such... Radio drama is really unexplored to some extent in American public radio. Now, there is a community, a very strong, small community of radio dramatists. I don't even have a term for it, producers of radio drama, but they really, it's completely separate from traditional American public radio. Sometimes we bring in pieces that blend drama and reality and fiction and documentary. There's a term we call faction, so a mix of fiction and fact, and some of those pieces are some of the most interesting ones to hear, where they blend reality and does truth have to be real? So we consider some of that even documentary, but I would say straight radio drama is kind of a lonely genre in the States. Mm. Yeah.
So in the opposite to the European feature scene, to give a conclusion, in America you have free producers and free productions who are looking for their stations, and in Europe we have stations looking for producers.
Let's make a deal. No, I think also a big difference is an American producer comes up with the idea, interviews the person, mixes the piece, and tries to sell it all by themselves. Sound engineers are just, would be a luxury to actually have. And now in the national public radio system, they have engineers that mix the pieces, but in the independent radio production, you wear all the hats, you do all the parts. Even you make the website, and you send out the emails, and the Facebook page, and everything is the same. And now there's a lot of interest in multimedia, so big projects are getting funded that have an internet component, and maybe some radio. You know, the radio, the content is falling, and the process and the platform is becoming more important. And I'm really worried about that, actually. I think we need more support for productions and not for the architecture and fancy technology. So.
But I wonder who's giving the funds and the money? Who's interested in?
Well, there's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting at the national level, and they support big projects. They don't support the $5,000 a starting producer needs to make their first documentary, but they have big, big money projects that they give away. And they're also looking for who's going to be the next star, who will bring more people into the radio, the next big thing, you know. So they give some money, and There's independent foundations. We get funding from a private foundation partly. Mm-hmm.
These are art foundations?
Some of them are art foundations. There's actually a new award in the States called United States Artists Grant or something that gives $50,000 just to artists. They pick 50 artists every year and give them each $50,000. But that was revelatory because there's really nothing else like that. Then NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, has pulled way back on radio funding for whatever reason. I think that happened about 10 years ago. So there aren't a lot of places to go for funding. Special projects sometimes following thematic, you can go to maybe a foundation that funds science stories or medicine stories or, you know, urban issue stories, housing and all this. But for just artful explorations of how we live, it's hard to convince somebody to give you money, I think. So. And it's funny because in some ways the Third Coast community is so strong and we feel very positive about who's coming in and the potential. And then we also feel a little curious about how it's all going to pan out. But radio producers are really resourceful, and they find a way, you know, whether they get some money for a podcast and work on that radio story they always wanted to make, or they start developing relationships with the shows, and then slowly you just work your way up. You have to be really, really persistent. When people come to us and say, I love radio, I listen all the time, I love your show, how do I get involved? We just say, start making something. Just start making it. And then pushing open the doors and knocking politely and knocking again politely, and you have to really work really hard to get in there.
There seem to be a lot of idealists in America.
I know, it doesn't seem very possible. Yeah, I think, well, a lot of these people are younger and, you know, just out of college. You think you can hang in there. Your parents are helping you, support you, and yeah, I think we're all a little idealistic and hopeful. And we believe, everyone believes in it, so they go forward with it. I hope that's our philosophy. At least it's all we can do. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.